This is Joseph Gervasi. I'm here with Jenna Pupp. Today is May 7, 2015. We are conducting this interview at my home in the Roxborough neighborhood of Philadelphia. And this is part of Loud Fast Philly. Jenna, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming all the way out to beautiful Roxborough. Mm-hmm. You've been out here before?
Probably.
Yeah. Well, we have the Wissahickon close
sure.
by.
Sure. Oh, yeah, definitely. So and the Target.
Yeah, that's what I think it's actually technically Conshohocken.
Oh, okay.
Conchy.
I mean, it's Philly, right?
Yeah.
All
fair
the
enough.
Weird names for all the weird places get me all mixed up.
Yeah, mostly Indian names, I guess. Hard to spell.
Fair.
But in any case, where were you born and when?
Somewhere in Virginia in September 1st, 1981.
What is this somewhere in Virginia? Do you know where you were born?
I do, but I've moved around so much. Like, okay. I don't know, almost probably like 60-ish times.
Wow. That's
so I just know it's Virginia or West Virginia or something. I was only there for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I take it you probably weren't born as Jenna Pupp. Do you ever say your actual birth name or
mm-mm.
do you just stick to... Okay.
No, yeah.
And is that... What is the reason why you use the pseudonym?
Jenna Pupp?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... It's. I mean, that's my name now.
Okay.
Like, it's... It is a part of, like... me being visible for like gender stuff mm-hmm. and just being like a trans femme person. Also it was like my dad's real name was like my given name and that I don't want that. The
right.
person like didn't like gave me a name and then like busted out.
Right.
So
right.
yeah.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with anything.
So Young you say you moved around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like as a kid, or what were your parents doing?
My mom was just doing her best to be like a young mom mm-hmm. and raising a child and surviving. And this is kind of like most that I remember, just my mom being like badass, like strong, independent woman mm-hmm. and doing whatever she had to do to make me happy and keep me alive, keep
right.
us alive.
And your father wasn't at all in the picture?
Not that I really remember. Left when I was like 5 or 6 and then just kind of like never really, like maybe once around after that, but mm-hmm. like I don't remember much of him as a child either.
And as an adult now, you have...
Nothing. Okay. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But I consider, he does owe my mom a lot of child support. Where they got divorced, there's like no statute of limitation.
You think there's any chance of getting that blood from the stone?
I mean, sometimes I think about trying, but then I don't really feel like putting that much energy into, like, for whatever, to maybe fuck up somebody's life that maybe got better, but probably not.
It seems like it would be quite a mire to have to kind of immerse yourself.
Yeah, if it was like $1 million, I'd, like, hunt him down super fast, but it's not. Yeah.
Remember, yeah. I live here.
Yeah, I'd buy you a new tape recorder thing.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Was there an area that you spent more time in as a youth than in other places that maybe had an impression upon you?
North and South Carolina were my, like, two... Like, South Carolina mainly. It's, like, my favorite place that I lived. I lived there until, like, on and off until I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the house that I lived in for a short period of time that, like, was the most influential to me. Like, I have, like, tattooed on me. It's, like, a really nice reminder of, like... really good things in the midst of like a lot of bad things too, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of woods. I just like to go out and take my hatchet and
I understand
fuck up things like as like a 12-year-old or whatever.
Mm-hmm. How did you get on as a kid with other kids and even, you know, with yourself? Like, what were you like then?
Like always the nerd or like bullied a lot. You know, like chubby redhead, does like those two things. And like, regardless of whether I knew it then or not, like definitely like weird, like trans femme faggot, like regardless on if I knew it myself.
Right.
So, you know, definitely like a magnet for shitheads.
Right.
But we like lived with a lot of, like we were like a very like communal family. Like we would like, it was always like me and my mom and my grandma usually. And then... sometimes my like aunt and uncles would be around and my cousins and like my like quote sister who's like not my sister, she's like just like a first cousin, but like we grew up like mm-hmm. together, but so like would always like hang out with them and but a lot of like alone time for sure.
Right.
Like definitely really appreciate and need and love like my alone time. So I guess like that's how I did.
Like, now I assume sometimes that young people would potentially listen to interviews like this and look for people who maybe had experiences that were similar to theirs to kind of understand how to navigate through situations.
Sure.
So I think that the part of what I would want to get at the early part of your years was the means that you you're alive now, so you managed to navigate through these situations where you felt like outsider, treated like outsider, you know, met with probably, you know, violence and all manner of intimidation.
Yeah.
So what did you find were ways that you managed to get through these situations intact?
I mean, there definitely were like problematic things with like, when I say like my parents, I mean my mom and my grandma, like, you know, like no, like, preteen or teenager like usually gets along with theirs, but those were two people that like kept me alive like so much, but really like, and not like ironically or coincidentally, like music that is a thing that has always kept me alive. Like,
what was it at first, the music?
What do you mean?
I mean, I would assume that there's probably something that was prior to punk, unless punk was the first thing that hit you in that way.
I mean, I guess it depends on what you consider punk, because like punk isn't like necessarily like it was, I don't know, like always, like I liked Aerosmith, and then like, or like AC/DC or like whatever these bands, and then when I started to, you know, either get depressed or realize what that was, or like hate myself or like everything I was around, it was like loud fast music or what I thought was fast. Like, you know, like the first time I heard like a double bass thing in a White Zombie song, I was like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
Or like, you know, I was never like cool and like listen to like Operation Ivy or like any of that shit. I was like listening to like Limp Bizkit and Korn, and like it was just like,
I don't think anybody finds Operation Ivy first, though. That's kind of a,
I mean, people know. Like to pretend they do. When I was like
we all
12,
know.
Like whatever. I mean, Nirvana though was like, I was like a product of that, was like the perfect time. So it was like weird, like angsty, like lyrics I couldn't understand and didn't really like know, and so it could like mean whatever I wanted it to mean.
Right.
And so like around that, and I was also like that, like I was like 11, 12, 13, and so that was like stuff that like hit me. It was like supposed to, you know, like it, there's a reason it became what it was for like so many like weird angsty shitty kids.
Did you look at any of these people as role models, as people that you were looking up to in any way?
I mean, I wanted to be like a rock star or like whatever, or like I wanted to play music and get paid for it. I didn't want to keep on like bagging groceries or washing dishes at like the pizza place. Like, I'd still sell out. I don't care. Like, but yeah. Like, whatever way I can get, like, to survive from, like, music, like, whatever.
I heard that the advance from SRA Records is fucking fantastic.
Yes.
Is it true?
Yeah, definitely. $6.66, like, straight out the door. It's perfect.
Yeah, well, you live in West Philly, so.
Sure. I mean, I don't know how much it costs to do, like, mail order for them, but, like, I fucking hate doing mail order, and now I don't have to anymore.
That's all I do all day with my business is ship shit out, so.
Unfortunately, when I like make records, I don't necessarily make money off of them. So like, I mean, unfortunately is like a weird, like, yeah. So every time I'm doing that shit, it's just like, and I'm always late on it. So sorry to everyone that hasn't got their records that we put out.
Yeah, well, I'll leave it to Bruce.
He'll
take care of it eventually.
Yeah, sure.
But still going back. So you said that you had a close relationship with your mother and your grandmother.
Yeah.
Were they aware of your gender feelings? You know, your feelings?
I wasn't. Well,
how did you begin to come to an awareness of the fact that, and however you want to character.
And I guess like also like my grandma and I hated each other until probably it was like in my late teens, early 20s. So it was mostly my mom and I like were like she was like my best friend. I was always the weird one. Like there's pictures of me, like I thought it would be funny to like put on my mom's swimsuit and like pumps and stuff and like put grapefruits in the top, and like she like took pictures of it and thought it was funny too. Or like my neighbor like was getting rid of her Barbies, and like we didn't have like a lot of money for me to get like other toys, and I was like, hell yeah, I'll take, you know what I mean? Things I never thought about. But I mean, like definitely in my like early and late teens, like, asked if I was, like, gay, and then she'd just be like, are you gay? And I'm like, no. And she's like, so you're straight? And be like, no. And you're like, oh, you're bi. And I'm like, I'm just Jenna Pup. Like, I'm none of those
things. Were you calling yourself
things.
Jenna Pup then?
No, I just, like, don't want to use my old name.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah.
But no, I was just like, I'm just your kid. Like, but yeah, so.
And was there a point that began to sort of gel more in an understanding of who you were? For real,
like, know. Gender
yeah
stuff?
yeah
I mean, really, I'm like kind of like a late bloomer to everything, and I barely knew what queer was until I moved to Philly in 2008.
Oh, like, that's not that long ago.
No, it's not at all, like, it. And I mean, like, I never identified as, like, any sort of, like, when I moved here, I just thought that I was, like, just still a boy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I knew I was, like, weird and, like, all these things. But, like, until, like, my first show I went to was, like, a show at the Mitten, like, in West Philly. And I remember just, like, kind of, like, seeing what was going on, just being like, huh. And then, like, meeting some, like, friends and, like, them kind of, like, bringing me in. And, like, definitely, like, smell your own, you know? Like, there was, like, a couple, like, really nice people that, like, brought me in, and I was just like, what the fuck is this? And then it was, like, just steamrolled me, and then, you know, snowball effect, reading, learning, figuring shit out, flipping out, having, like, breakdowns, but yeah, so, like, I was, like, almost 30 when, like, one, I realized I was, like, that there was, like, a word to describe what it was, let alone, finding out that, like, I'm, like, realizing that I'm, like, trans and, like, coming out as trans. So, yeah.
Right. And how do you react to people? I mean, do you think that people probably read you as male? People
on the street? So, there's this, like, weird, terrible, yet validating thing that happens to me often where from, like, either, like, far away or, like, from the back, like, what I'm assuming are, like, cis straight dudes will, like, catcall me.
Right.
And then, like, they'll get closer, and, like, usually it's, like, you know, they either get, like say something fucked up, like, get pissed off or grossed out or whatever, and, like, that's when I, like, fuck with them, or not, because doing that is, like, stupid, but
I'm sure fucking with them could probably lead to... So.
It's, like, it's terrible. I've had some, like, really, like, fucked up situations, but it's... But then, I mean, also other times, like, very fucking rare, they're just like, oh, okay, what up? It's, like, this weird validating thing where, like, I know that I am, like, visible, like, at least in, like, a femme way, you know? Like, how I, like, hold myself or, like, it just, I don't know, comes out of me somehow.
Right.
Like, people see it, definitely, you know?
But do you think that registered, I mean... As female, or as gay male?
No, I definitely think, like, as, like, the people, like, in the situations I'm talking about with, like, catcalling and stuff, like, several situations where it's, like, they think, like, I am, like, some, like, woman with, like, a fat ass. Like, my, like, short shorts and, like, stocking seam or, like, whatever the fuck, like, hoops, you know, from far away. So sometimes, definitely, like, cis female. hardly ever, like, yeah, no, like, I mean... Duh, often, like, people, like, read me as, like, a gay man, and I get either shit for that, too, or, like, catcalled for that, too, but, like, but, you know, 90% of the time, yes, people probably read me as, like, cis gay man or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, where I live in, like, West Philly, there's, like, tons of, like, queers or, like, trans folks, and so I think there's also, that has a lot to do with, like, how anyone that also lives there would, like, read me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, being exposed to it. Right. Yeah.
It seems like the trans has risen in people's consciousness in recent years.
In the last year, like, also, too.
Yeah,
like,
I think
so
a lot.
Much, yeah.
And I think a lot of people aren't necessarily prejudiced against trans people, but don't necessarily know how to relate to them or refer to them, so they can be very...
Sure.
A little tentative and nervous.
But I also think that, like... So many people are prejudiced against trans people.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
There's no doubt about that.
But definitely, but yeah, like, I mean, people, especially, like, anyone that, like, is like non-binary, like someone that doesn't go by like female or male like pronouns or something, where people like don't know how to and like go for like gender neutral something. They're just like, I don't understand how I like, what do you mean they? Like, I thought you said it was one person, you know, and like people get like super confused or like stumble over their words and stuff. And
I mean, if you don't know and you haven't been told, and certainly different people have different feelings of how they want to be addressed. And because it seems to be sort of an ongoing conversation, and I think sometimes well-intentioned people, like you're saying, kind of trip over their own feet in an attempt to be, you know, as fair and understanding as possible.
And I do think that, like, there are a lot of, like, well-intentioned people. And me personally, like, I feel like it's, you can read that, and I give those people, like, benefit of the doubt. And, like, sometimes I will, like, talk to someone about that stuff. But at the same time, I don't think, like, any trans folks or, like, any, like, owes them anything. So it's just like one of those things where it's just like, oh, that person feels a certain way. Like, I can either be like, okay, you feel that way, or okay, I'm gonna leave, or I don't want to deal with this today. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's
because it's your life that you live, and definitely, someone else is just kind of stepping in with their feelings and thoughts and then leaving.
Definitely. And like the worst thing that, like, one of the things that I hear that I hate is when someone that is like well-intentioned or something sometimes would be like, oh, it's, you know, it's just like really hard for me to like get it right or do this thing. And it's like, actually, it's not hard for you. It's like, it's different, or like it might be confusing for you. It's hard for me. Like, you get to leave this and be like, oh, okay, that was like part of the day, that was weird. And then I leave and I'm just like, that was fucking awful.
Yeah, but it is the actual you.
Sure.
Definitely. Well, I guess we should go back a little bit. In that, what was the introduction of punk to you? I mean, we talked about, you know, defining punk, but kind of like the more.
I mean, I listened to like pop punk and stuff when I was younger. Like I said, I feel like the first like punk thing that I was listening to was like probably like Nirvana, or like even like maybe like Offspring, you know, like stuff like that. And that stuff, you know, when you get it then it starts to like split off into other things, and you hear about whatever, you know, you get cable for the first time when you're 13 and you record 120 minutes every you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
was that part of your experience with it?
With what?
With 120 minutes? Because it seems
I mean, that was like the first time I heard like The Refused, you know, was on there. But like, I mean, my friend took me to like a show at his parents' house in his garage.
And where is this? What state?
Oh, this is Michigan. Okay. This is like when I lived in the suburbs of Detroit. I remember I saw this band called Shun, and then Johnny McLean, which was like, was that when like members of like Black Dahlia Murder, like, so, you know, it's like all this, it's just like, you know, 1997 or like something like that, someone took me to like a garage show, and I was just like, what the fuck is happening? And then, you know, Napster happens for the first time, you download every single thing you can find, you're buying everybody's demos. Like, yeah, I was like 16 or something like that, like very like, maybe not late, but like to that like scene, you know. And then Michigan Fest, and which is like, can't think of like Pointless Fest or something that used to happen in Philly. Like, just like punk bands that play in basements and stuff, and not like punk bands that play
in stadiums,
or like even like a 21 plus like 500 something bar, you know. Yeah, is like, so that was like my introduction was when I was living like outside of Detroit.
Did you feel that scene was welcoming to you when you were coming into it as a young person?
I mean, I was still like, you know, it's still like a weird, like, it's kind of confused, because like, you know, like the cool punks, like, or whatever, they're just like, oh, whatever, like, new, like, and then it's like me and like my weird like dorky like high school friends that are just like the ones in the corner being like, oh, it's sick. And it, like, yeah, so I don't know, like, it's kind of like, I feel like those places, you're going there because you're not welcome to like other things, you know. And so it's definitely like a new, exciting, like, I think it's like more exciting to be there and excited to like be a part of it than like a welcoming thing, if that makes sense.
And when did you start to take part in the activities?
I was like playing music with like my best friend, my like old best friend, Stephen Longworth, when I was like 13. So like, but I don't count that, but I was in like, you know, quote band,
What were you doing? That never what played were you doing in the band?
Guitar and like writing. So it was like, you know, always like normally like a two piece, like me and like just me and my best friend, and then like kind of like now. But then, you know, just like playing with like friends in high school that had like equipment. Mm-hmm. But then when I started, like, my first show, I don't even remember what my first show was, like, in, like, 2000, 2001 or something, like, with, like, a shitty, weird grind band.
What was a shitty, weird grind band called? You must say.
It's called The Kraken.
As in the mythical
yes,
sea beast?
Yes, yeah. Or Kraken, or, like, whatever it was called. Poof. Those are some fun pictures. That was definitely... When I had hair, like, definitely had, like, black hair with, like, bangs and, like, you know, duck butt, all that super cool stuff.
Yeah.
Barf.
And what was the Kraken singing about? Were you using the band as a way of expressing
I wasn't, kind of idea? So I was playing guitar in that. I didn't write the lyrics. I don't know, like, 16, 17-year-old whatever, you know? Just, like, I literally don't know. It was just like we just wanted to be loud, fast, and annoying. Mm-hmm. And
probably succeed.
We were at least we'll be the last one. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Super annoying. But yeah, so that was that. Mm-hmm. But didn't really have any, like, you know, I was never really in like a politically charged band like then. Mm-hmm. You know, like politics weren't even like on my mind at that moment.
Right. How did the grind wind up coming into your life?
What's that?
How did the grindcore, how did that wind up coming in?
My friend, Heather, like, she needed a ride to school. Mm-hmm. And then she, like, showed me, like, Charles Bronson and or the Locust. I forget which one was first.
Yeah.
But, that, and I was like, you know, like I was talking about, like, the first time I heard double bass, I was like, the first time I heard a blast beat, or, yeah, you know, and I was just like... Huh? And then so we like skipped school and just went to the record store. Mm-hmm. And she was like, this and this, I'll make you a mixtape, blah, blah, blah.
And then you discovered Slap a Ham Records.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then it was over. Like, and then here I am today. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So how did you wind up in Philadelphia then?
So I was in, like Michigan, and then, got asked to join this, like, other, like, grindy band. Did that and then met my now best friend. And he was in a different band called Enkeflin. And I forget, like, when did we even tour? Like, I don't even remember when the first tour was. I ended up touring here. And I played, like, a show in, like, 2001 or 2002 mm-hmm. at 43rd and Locust. Mm-hmm. And then we met some amazing, amazing people. Like, one of our, like... still best friends, Craig Woods, who did like Be Happy Records and was in Towers, that was like here. Mm-hmm. And that, so we basically would come back like at least once a year. And then finally we were, you know, driving from like outside of Detroit to Philly to play like one show mm-hmm. and driving back because we were having so much fun.
Right.
And pretzels. And then, we just decided, like, we just, both of us, my best friend and I needed, like, a change in our life, and we decided to go on, like, a two-month tour, and then move to Philly. Mm-hmm. So we did.
And what were your initial impressions of Philadelphia when you were coming in?
It was, like, less of the city and more of the people. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like when you're on tour and you're only in a place so long, like, at least at first, when you're, like, you know, every single day is a show, you can only experience it through, like, the people that you're with, you know, you're going out on your own or like whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, but Philly ended up being one of those places, you know, we would go on a 2-week tour and then we would take an extra day off so we could hang out with our friends. Mm-hmm. And really it was just the, like all of our friends here is just, and just how it worked, you know? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't necessarily the city itself, but the people.
Right.
Yeah.
West Philly tends to be a bit of an enclave. I mean, that you're going to find all sorts of interesting people.
Sure.
Converging there. The city as a whole is kind of a different scene. So were you primarily in West Philly, or mm-hmm. were you seeing other parts of the city as well to get a feel for it?
We were mostly in West Philly. We were playing, like, mostly the one place at 43rd and Locust. Like, it was, like, behind the... like this CVS that we would play most of our shows there. I don't even
was it a warehouse or a house?
It was a house. It was just a basement. Mm-hmm. And that's where we would always go play. And so really we always ended up there, and then, you know, go to like whatever, like, Gianna's, That's like that's the, you know, you go to all the vegan places around, or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, Diana's was vegan in quotes. Oh no, as so, was later.
Oh sure, not what was the other one? Govinda's.
Govinda's.
Yeah. So we had like, you know, we'd go there. We'd go like do like, you know, get like typical like Philly stuff. If like any, you know, oh, I need a tofu hoagie. I'm like, okay, yeah. Like, you know, so yeah, definitely. Yeah, and so that's what it was. But it, and like sometimes we would go like explore, but it wasn't really. It just, yeah, just kind of all, like, just, like, hung out.
Mm-hmm.
If that answered the question, I think it trailed.
Yeah. So, obviously, you moved into West Philadelphia when you came into the city.
When we got here, well, we were originally supposed to move to, like, 5th and Girard.
Mm-hmm.
That got really, like, super fucked up. So, we ended up staying in South Philly for, like, 3 weeks until we found a place.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to West Philly. Yeah, after that. But yeah, so like, got there. Yeah, ended up there. Yeah.
And you're still in West Philly, right?
I am, yeah. Yeah.
When did the begin? I guess that band fell apart.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, there was like a bunch of bands in between. But like, so whichever, but yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
anything worth mentioning? Because I don't want to miss, you know, anything that...
Not really. I mean, yeah, no, when we moved here, we were in a different band called Best Friends, because we're best friends, and mm-hmm. it was easy to be like, hey, we're these two people, and we're best friends. Here are some posse songs about pizza. And then we were just like, oh, fuck, we miss playing fast music, and everything in the world sucks. So mm-hmm. here are some fast songs about stuff that sucks. Like,
and what were some of the stuff that sucks is that you wanted to cover with the band?
I mean, it was, I mean, I don't know, like, any forms of, like, authority or policing,
mm-hmm.
like, whether it's from, like, cops or, like, your friends or, like, just people that want to tell you what to be and what to do. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, when Here started was, like, it was before I was going, by, like, femme pronouns. It was before I, like, changed my name. It was, like, all these things. And so, like, I mean, this band is, like, a huge, maybe, like, catalyst is the right word, like, for where, like, me, like, figuring out stuff and, like,
mm-hmm.
Being surrounded by and, like, introduced to more, like, queer folks and trans folks, like, through this, you know?
It must be interesting to go through this process kind of in front of people, because you're presenting this music,
sure.
and there's a, you know, I mean, people who see you from the beginning are seeing these.
It's so intense. It's like super intense, but also like extremely, like so much power from like, so, because when I like came out, like there's like people online that like I'd never met before or like ever talked, like have no, like all the only way that they would know me would be because of like a website or like whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you would be like, and now I'm going by this or this, and I would get like emails or like congratulate, I mean even like a like on like Facebook from like someone mm-hmm. you don't know,
right.
is like in that very vulnerable moment is a extremely positive thing, you know,
right. So you set out mile markers in effect, saying like making a pronouncement, you know, a coming out
was, I mean, at least on like or... my own, like,
right.
mm-hmm. I mean, I for like a year I was drafting an email to all my friends and stuff, and it was like International Coming Out Day or like whatever, which is, you know, a funny, ridiculous thing, but I was like, I guess I'll just like start rambling on Facebook and then see what happens. And then I was out to everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And then if you weren't on Facebook or you didn't know whatever, like if like, you know, like the word travels, or it also gave me the power to correct people. Like if like the fact that I had come out in, like, a public way, like, someone would be like, oh, hey, blah, or, like, oh, this person, is like, use wrong pronouns or whatever, and be like, actually, it's this now, and, like, and it was never, like, a necessarily negative thing. People would be like, oh, congratulations, mm-hmm. or, like, I'm proud of you, or, like, it was really, really intense, but, I mean, that was during, like, during the band, too, and, like, so, is also intense.
Like, I can imagine. Yeah. Here's, then, is now called, like, queer grindcore. I mean, there's a certain. I have a record or something that says
the. Oh, whole, like what, like the, like the sounds, like the little slogan thing, like sounds like shit, queer as hell, like or whatever the fuck it says.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah, me either.
But that, I mean, that. So you didn't begin as a queer grindcore band.
I think. I mean, so I basically wrote 10 songs, and they did like deal with that stuff. And, like, our, like, every single show, like, all of our first shows, like, It definitely wasn't just a thrash band or, like, a whatever. And, like, I kind of, like, I understand that, like, we're grind. We have, like, blast beats and stuff. But I don't even like using that word anymore because it's, like, associated with such, like, awful, like other bands. You know what I mean? And so I'm just, like, we're just a, like, we're a punk band. You know? Like, fair enough, like, yeah. So.
And when you say we, you're talking about you and Scott. And,
yes. Yeah. Like, definitely. Yeah. Like, I mean, if we didn't share, like, at least, like, the majority of, like, same morals and ethics and everything, like, we wouldn't be together. Because, like, that person was with me the entire time I came out, and, like, so that, like, when I was talking earlier about people being like, oh, this is hard for me, and I'm like, no, it's actually not. Like, him and, like, my mom and, like, my grandma and, like, the people that are close to me, like, those are the people that get the pass where it's just like, this is difficult. I've known you for, like, almost half my life now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But so, yeah, like, so Scott and I and, yeah, just, like, punk band, like, we're in it, like, it could be anything, doesn't really matter. Like,
is Scott gay?
No, Scott is straight.
So then when you say, you know, you're a queer grindcore band, mm-hmm. or whatever you're gonna say,
sure,
and it seems like that your personality sort of is the dominant,
sure,
presence.
I mean, I guess, like, less like the like just queer, but just like I feel like we've, like, labeled it as, like, you know, whatever, like, stickers on the record describing it's, like, LGBTQIA, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, Scott is definitely, like, is an accomplice. Like, yeah. Like, that is a person that has, like, helped me survive and is, like, there mm-hmm. for me and, like, isn't a shithead.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
But there's never any feeling from him that your personality, being big and put forward, overshadows his participation or his...
I mean, like, we wouldn't be us without him. Like, mm-hmm. it wouldn't work, you know? Like, I know, like, it is difficult sometimes because, like, I am very, like, I am an extrovert in theory. Like, I'm, like, super anxious all the time and, like a freak show and, like, in the corner sometimes, but, like, when I am comfortable, like, love to talk to everybody, I do have, like, an online presence, I guess. Like, I'm the person that, like, does most of the internet stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so also, like, being, like, a trans femme person, like, in the band, like I feel like it's easier for, like, other, like weird queer trans people and stuff, like, talk to me, and, like, Scott's awkward and quiet and stuff. And so, like, mm-hmm. it is a thing, like, and I always, like, try to make sure that he knows, or, like, he knows that it is... it would not be the band without him.
Right. It's not as if he's backing you.
Definitely. Yeah. No, it is. Yeah. It is, like, when we play, like, live, it is, like, the two of us. And, like, some of the best things that people have said are just, like, y'all's energy, like, between each other is just, like, so intense. Or, like, people, like, somebody said, like, magical ones. I'm like, fuck yeah, it's magical. I love that person, like, mm-hmm. so much. And,
that's
like,
great.
Like, so much. And it just wouldn't, it would not exist without him. Like, it's not like a 60-40 or something, you know? It's like, it's 50-50, definitely.
Would there ever be any other band members, or will it only ever be the two of you?
I mean, like, we've been, like, using the, like, we've been calling ourselves, like, the Here's Collective, like, now, because, like, we've done, like, live stuff with other people, like, we've, like, I don't know if you want to say, like, collaborated or whatever, like, but it'll, the two of us are, like, the primary people, but I wouldn't doubt it if, you know, who knows what'll happen.
Like, use, like, use a human drummer.
Oh, we would love that. Like, we've talked about, we have some, like, new fun things coming up that, like, hopefully maybe that'll be a part of it.
Anything
we'll see.
You want to mention?
I mean, we're considering, we might be doing, like, a actual full band record. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we've been, like, talking about that a lot. And yeah, we'd like, I mean... Basically, the reason it's the two of us is because having more than, like, two people sucks sometimes. I only ever have to contact him when to see if I want to play a show. It's not like, okay, let me see if the other six people in the band can do this.
Work schedule.
Yeah, definitely.
Schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's always, like,
and there's always
an asshole in the band. Oh, yeah, and yeah, so yeah. And, like, it's both me and Scott are both the asshole in this band, so, like, works
that's
out.
That's yeah, because somebody has to pick on somebody else.
Oh, it is bad. Yeah. We
so
both,
like,
definitely pick on
each other.
Yeah,
I know from running a business that's what happens.
It is how it works. But no, so, yeah, always, I mean, we've had, like, tons of amazing people on, like, our records. Like, always love inviting people, to be on stuff. So, and, like, one of the, we did this one record that, we did our split with People Watching, like, I just had surgery, like, and I couldn't really, like, scream or do all these things, and so 8 of the 10 songs that are on there are by 8 other people. Like, so, like, I hollered at friends and had a different person for each song, except for, like, 2 of them. Yeah, definitely.
As you came into awareness of queer hardcore and things like that, were there any other bands, punk bands, queer bands that you were looking at in particular or had any kind of influence on you?
Me? I don't know. Like, I mean, I was listening to, like, Limp Wrist, like, before I knew, like, whatever. I can't really think of it off the top of my head.
Well, you did a cover
now
of a Go song, so I was wondering if you were familiar with them.
Oh, like, no. We did, so, like, yeah, that was, like, more of a, the Pizza Boy cover, right?
Yeah.
That was more of a, it's like we did that thing for Christmas, and I tried to find as many of the shortest songs as possible from, like, all these bands we did. And so we did, like, all these, like, short songs. So I actually didn't know that, like, anyone in that band was gay or queer or, like, anything like that. But we did do this Halloween tape where I tried to pick... We did, like... It was, like, 31 songs, and they were all covers, and tried to have every single song... Or, like, every single band that we covered be, like, at least, like primarily women in it, or like queers, or you know, so, and I think that maybe there was like one or two that were in there that that weren't. And it's like, it's hard to find, and like actually, like, you like, is, and as much as you want to like think that you could just like type it in the internet and be like queer punk, it's you're gonna get like the same 5 results
you're
every
get
time.
Pansy Division and whatever.
Sure, but yeah, which we did one of the, you know, we did.
But hopefully
those,
you're gonna get like the Feeders or MDC.
Sure,
know,
sure,
not expressly queer bands, but the front people.
Definitely.
Were,
and, yeah.
Have you become more aware of Go since then?
No.
Okay, because Mike Bullshit, the singer, was an interesting character because he was out gay in, I guess this was late 80s into early 90s, but as a full-on aggressive hardcore band. So
yeah,
there wasn't any kind of a, there was no feminine edge, or there was no sort of like a more mincing or something quality to it. Like, it was a full-on...
Well, I feel like that's like, it's like a Guy in a Punchline's the same way too, right? What is that person's name? Or, Inhumanity? I'm gonna blank right now.
I don't know the name.
It's the person that, like, called, like, Carl Crisis, and there's, like, a really funny... whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. I feel like there's, like, a couple bands that I found out about, like, through that, and I was just like, wait, what? That person's, like, queer or gay or, like, whatever the fuck?
Yeah.
Or, like, even, like, you know, just, like, not a shit. It's, like, so mind-blowing when you, like, there's all these, like, hardcore, like, whatever bands, and I kind of, like, you know, like, never meet your idols type thing.
Yeah.
And whenever I meet someone that's, like, knowledgeable or, like, not a shithead or, like, where I'm just like, oh, like, this makes me like your band so much more, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I think I like more bands that I don't really like the music of because of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No, that
like,
makes sense.
Like, because there's, like, so many other things where I'm like, I can't even listen to this. This dude sucks.
Yeah.
He's, like, such a shithead.
I must say, I mean, I have a lot of records of people that I know are complete shitheads. Like,
oh, definitely.
Really
yeah.
dodgy ideologies. But I think that, like, as an adult, it's not going to influence me to...
Sure.
Like,
that, yeah, it's definitely different. There's, like, some that, like, once I found out certain things, I'm like, oh, I can't, like, fucking even, like, handle that. Like, I don't even want that on my iTunes, because if somebody sees that, they're going to be like, Jenna, come on. And be like, ah, I know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, also, that's why I love, like, if you're one of the worst people ever, and, like, but you have, like, a rad riff, like, I will steal that riff so fucking fast.
It's like, your revenge. Like, I love this, but fuck you.
Well, I want to listen to that breakdown, but not with you over it, so I'm just going to, like, throw it in our record.
Yeah.
And, I have no shame for that.
I think it's perfectly acceptable.
I will steal from, like, any asshole. It doesn't matter what it is.
And what are they going to do to you, really?
Yeah. No, yeah. I feel, oh, you took my riff. I'm just like, I mean, Vanilla Ice did, like, that shit with, like, the Queen song or whatever it was.
Does
Didn't
David
he win
Bowie,
that? David Bowie. Yeah. So anyway, doing a better version of that.
One of the ideas that I roll around with doing a lot of these interviews is people presenting themselves as role models, either intentionally or unintentionally. Mm. My thought is, like, when you present yourself in public, right, a lot of people are going to pay attention to you. And there are going to be people who are very impressionable who are going to look at you, you or anyone who's putting themselves forward. And a lot of times the role models can be ultimately be quite negative for people because of their behavior. And I think that especially when you're talking about people who are underrepresented in different areas, that let's say queers or women or something, or racial minorities, whatever, that there's a lot of pressure on them, or there are a lot of people who are going to be looking to them because it's a unique experience and is not that well represented. So in your case, when you go forward, you know, you're presenting a lot of words and a lot of behavior. Do you think about what you're saying to younger people who are looking for answers, like, or understanding?
In our lyrics or in, like, while we play shows, or both?
Well,
or?
I would say both and all, because like you say, you represent the band, you know, in both media and then, you know, in performance. So you're going to have a lot of people who are going to be looking at you, right?
Sure.
And are going to pay attention to the things you say, because in the same way that, like, when we were younger and we read these lyric sheets, we were looking for answers.
Sure.
Because the world was confusing. So what do you think you're saying to them?
One, I think so many of our lyrics are super short. So it's like, a lot of them are like to the point or just like really mad. And so it's not really like saying anything besides, it's not necessarily saying like what someone should do or feel, but it's just like, this is how I feel. This is what I think about, like, these things. Mm-hmm. And like Scott has, like, written some of the lyrics also, and I'm sure he would say, like, the same thing. But we do, like, try to make it very, like, obvious and aware that, like, when we are playing, like, we want it to be, like, a space where you're not going to get fucked up by an asshole. Because, like, we play this, like, loud, like, intense music, and, like, so, like, I think a lot of people go to shows and they're like, oh yeah, this means, like, push around or do all this stuff. Yeah. And so, like, you, like, before we play, like, I'm always like, one, don't do that, because we'll stop our set and call you out, or, like, just, like, here's your warning. Mm-hmm. And two, like, also try to invite, like, always make, like, a call for, like, anyone that typically isn't up front. So basically any, like, anyone that's, like, not a cis white dude, you know, just like, or if, like, you're short and you can't see, like, you know, so, like, I guess, like, maybe this isn't the correct answer for it, but I just want to make sure, like, always make sure to include, like marginalized and oppressed people, like, as people, not just like a backtrack, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but I try not, like, one of the reasons we have samples is because I shouldn't have a microphone anyway, you know, like,
what
are you? I just ramble like this, and then it gets, like, one, it gets long, and then
but
boring.
You're clearly intelligent and articulate, so you, I mean, you can express these ideas.
I mean, with, like, with a lot of thought, like, maybe, like, one-on-one, but, you know, if you have, like, a crowd of people staring at you, it's, like, a little less easy, at least for me.
Well, yeah, it's tough. They're all looking at you. Yeah. You're probably out of breath and physically exhausted from
the
exertion.
Yeah, trying not to, like, throw up. But yeah, like, I mean, I feel like one of the reasons we have samples is, like, it's like, hey, this song, like, it's like, oh, this sample says, fuck you, officer, or, like, whatever. And she's like, that song's about cops and we don't like them. Or, you know what I mean? Right. So I don't have to be like, it's about a system that's being destroyed by the pigs in blue. You know, like, everybody's heard that, like, a million times. So, like, it's just, like, how about, like, a little, like, 2-second clip? And if you want to talk to us, like, after, like, definitely. There is, like, one song about primarily, like, the murder of, like, trans women of color. And it's just, like, before we play that, I always say something, because I'm just, like, that's important. Like, being murdered in the streets, or, like, you know, by their parents, or, like, suicide. And it's just, like, real shit, and it's, like, a fucking bummer, and it sucks, but oh, well, like, should know about it. And also, that is, like, that song is for, like, all trans, like, femmes, all trans femmes of color, like, so I feel like giving those people a spot, and, like, not a voice, like, that's not mine to give, but, like, I hope that, like, shows something.
I think what it does, it puts an idea out there, and then the idea kind of spreads around. Because, I mean, there's only going to be a finite number of people who are going to address these things.
Sure.
So you want to be one of the people who addresses
them. I mean, we're also to the point now where everyone knows that, like, in theory, like, people that are coming to our shows, in theory, like, know who we are or what we're about, you know? And so it's not like when we were playing before where it was, like, we would play whatever hardcore show, you know? Now we're playing, like, shows where it's, like, extremely diverse, because, like, musically, usually. Mm-hmm. But mostly is, like, you know, like, when we just got back from this tour was, like, out of control amazing. Like, all the shows were so diverse, and, like, every band had, like, either, like, women in it or trans women, or, you know, it just, like, wasn't dudes and bands. It was so amazing. And, like, the people that put on that tour, like, let people know about us. And it's like, hey, like, trans femme, like, fronted whatever the fuck loud noise.
So people who are coming to see these shows are going to know what they're going to be getting. There's not going to be a dude who just wants to mosh it up and then is taken aback.
Well, sometimes there is. Mm-hmm. There's a funny video, like, it's just, like, called, like, Femmes Taking Over the Pit or something like that, where it's just, like, this one dude wouldn't fucking stop jumping around, and then, like, all of these, like, rad trans and, like, queers people just, like, boosted him out. And not in a way where, like, they weren't like, hey, get out of here or whatever. They were just like, nope, we're taking over now. And they all just, like, it's so good.
That's good.
But, I mean, yeah, there's definitely still going to be people that are just, like, showing up to, like, a hardcore show, mm-hmm. or just to a show or, like, whatever. But I think, like, you know, I don't know, 69% of the time or something.
69%?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Like, random number. Like, kind of, like, know what they're getting into.
Do you find any young people contacting you and you know, because of what the band is about, and asking you questions or telling you kind of personal stories about themselves?
Like, rarely, but, like, there, but yeah, definitely, there is, like, or, like, you know, like, we played Gilman, and there was this, it was for, like, Two Piece Fest, which is, that is a thing where it's, like, you know, not primarily, like, queer or whatever, it's just Two Piece bands, that's the whole thing, mm-hmm. but, like, this, like, younger, like, couldn't have been older than, like, 13 or 14, kid came up and was just, like, so, like, just, like, that was beautiful, like, whatever else, and I was just, like, oh, you're definitely queer. Like, do you know, it was like, and like, was there with, like, the their father, and, like, it was just like, and, like, I feel like it was, like, the first time that, like, I found out about, like, queerness or something. I was just like, what just happened, and what are these feelings? I'm like, I'm feeling out of control. But, like, that, or, like, there was, like, there's a 13-year-old that, like, messaged us and was like, y'all have, like, like, changed my life, and, like, all these things. I've been listening to you for, like, over a year, and I'm like, you were listening to us when you were, like, 12 years old. And it's like, it was, like, also, like, a trans femme 13-year-old. And I remember just being like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, and like, this is a hungry and impressionable brain, so it's absorbing your words and,
I mean,
and your message.
When I was reading that, I was like, I wish that, not that I had, like, us around, but, like, I wish that I had, like, the type of, like, access, like, internet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when I was that old, I would, like, it's gonna be, like, I'm going to make the assumption it's going to be a long, like, intense struggle for, like, that person. But, like, I'm so happy that they can at least, like, find these things. Or, like, if listening to us, like, if they're just, like, really mad and
they can,
like,
manage to find you.
Right.
It's not the most obvious, you know,
Band. Yeah. It, like, it blew my mind. And, like, the, like, just, like, 13-year-old, like, trans femme from, like, Texas. And I'm just, like, fucking so sorry you're in the middle of Texas right now, and I'm like, I'm so happy that, like, you're alive, and, like, also took the time to, like, send us a message. Like, my heart, like, exploded.
That
was insane.
Okay.
And, like, I would, we could, like, do our last record after that, and I'd be fun. Like, you know, just, like, I could quit from there. It was, like, insane.
There can often be issues of suicide or self-loathing in young, you know, trans, gay teens, etc. Do you feel that you have any kind of responsibility in knowing that that there are going to be young people like that listening to give them some sort of a positive message?
Man, I mean, we did do that. We did the Sexy Flexy, like, record, which is, like, an all posy record, because it's just, like, kind of, dude, like, one, it just, you know, Sexy Flexy sounds good. Like, two, like,
and it's saying just, like, positive, like, you mean that in earnest, not in a quotes kind of
no
way.
It definitely wasn't. It was, these were, like, all things that were actually, like, are actually, like, positive to me, you know? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, out of, like, everything, like, here's is, like, my outlet, too, and, like, a way that I, 100% a way that I survive, you know what I mean? And if, like, so, like, and I also feel like it's, for me, personally, it's, like, important to, like, hear and experience and, like, negative things, because there's so much of it, like, and if you can do it in a way, like, yeah, I don't, responsibility to, like, have, like, I guess the positive message really is that, like, I'm still alive. I'm doing it, like, this shit sucks so hard, but, I'm still alive, and, like, I cannot, like, I didn't join, like, the 27 Club, and what I found that that's, you know, like, Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain, all those people like that, like, and I'm survived, or I'm surprised I, like, made it past my, like, teenager years, let alone, like, now, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, that's a positive message.
Yeah.
But hey, it's I'm like trans femme 33 and not dead yet.
And
like,
Yeah. Because I think a lot of the 27 Club, like, a lot of those people are so iconic that young people look up to them. And they're seeing a lot of really bad attributes. I mean, the thought of, like, drugs are really cool. Look at Sid Vicious.
Oh,
This imbecile did drugs, acted stupid, and then died. But for certain people, they're going to absorb that message. And, you know, there's certainly people who, as performers, are happy to put out a self-destructive message that, you know, to me seems quite irresponsible because people look at this.
I mean, to be honest, like, I feel we definitely also do have, like, I mean, one of the things that is, like, on one of our websites, like, or, like, and, like, a button, like, that came from a song was, like, kill God, kill cops, kill self. And, like, which is, like, really fucking intense. But it is also, like, I don't, like, ways that I've, like, felt before. If I could just, like, if all, like LGBTQIA, like, everything in between, not shitty people could, like, survive, and everything else could, like, die off, like, that type of evolution, that would be great, but, like, it doesn't necessarily happen in, like, some, like, negative shit.
Most people
like,
who are espousing killing cops or burning things down don't actually
do it. Definitely,
it's much easier to type the words in the computer.
Oh, sure, yeah. And, like, that's not, like, yeah, but... just like that was just like as you were saying those I was like oh not saying that we're not destructive but just like not towards ourselves like not towards like other like trans folks or queer folks but just as trans folks and queer folks you know what I mean because it's like hard not to want to like burn down everything like right now like it's like kind of awful like my with all like as like a person that is like white and can like pass as a man and like all these other things like my life is like an intense fucked up struggle I can't even imagine what it's like for other people that are like less privileged than me you know but I would like for all of us to survive. So, like, that's my good. Positive message.
Yeah. Part of the reason why I thought of that was because I had heard of... There's a fairly prominent hardcore band that's around now that is a kind of, like, oh, let's all get fucked up kind of a thing. And part of what they were espousing was, like, doing lots of drugs. Like, speed and shooting up and stuff like that. And when I hear this stuff, I really like the record that they put out. And as an adult, like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck in the sense that it's not going to influence me in a direction. In the way that, like, certain political ideas that, you know, are really out there for me aren't going to make me move in that direction.
Definitely, yeah.
But I heard from someone, I wrote about the record on Facebook saying, oh, I think this is a really fantastic hardcore record. And a friend of mine wrote and said, I'm from this scene where these people are from the city. And because young people liked them so much, they started getting into doing needle drugs. And these were like teenagers. And I thought, oh, fuck, I had to delete the thing. Because I don't want to put that idea out into the world. And the thought of, like, what does that band think that they've made really bad life decisions, clearly, is not going to pay off. Who the fuck does it pay off for? And then here are young people who are going to look at them and then say, wow, I want to do this too.
Duh. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, my feeling about, like, drugs and alcohol, like, at least as adults, I'm just like, you can do whatever you want, as long as it's not, like, I've had a handful of friends, like, one either die or get really close to it, and it's, like, fucked up, and I'm just like, but you're, like, addiction is real, that shit is, like, it's, like, a really touchy subject, but also, like, pretending that Like, I feel like that, like, when you're pretending that it's just, like, a party all the time, like, type thing, and, like, singing about it and stuff, like,
that's fucking stupid. You're just gonna fucking die at some
like,
point.
Like, I'm an alcoholic. Like, no question. And there's, like,
a couple... I mean, you are saying this as you.
I am. Yeah, okay. Definitely. Yeah, or at least, like, I mean, like, I took, like, a 2-week break recently to make sure that I could do it. But definitely, like, alcoholism runs, like, deep in my family. And, like, when we play shows, I get, like, wasted because, like... That is, like, my... Basically, like, my anxiety medication. Like, but, like, there's also 2 songs about it where I'm just like, dude, I'm, like, fucked up again. I'm, like, not shutting up. This is stupid. And those songs are called Trainwreck, both of... You know, like, because I'm a train wreck when I'm like that. And it's just, like, it fucking sucks. I wish that I wasn't. I'm sure there's, like... Obviously, there's, like, plenty of people that would, like, help me with it. There's, like, steps to take about it. And there are people that do. But, like, it's not, like, yeah, I'm definitely not, like... Well, party, like, get wasted. We did joke a lot about weed, and then people always, like, we would have, like, people play with us, and you're like, oh, do you want to, like, smoke? And I'm like, oh, we don't. And they're just like, what are you talking about? You have an entire record called Dimebag. But...
Well, what do you do? I mean, if you have such a clear self-awareness of your alcoholism, I mean, what do you do with that? I mean, do you think that it's something that you can carry through your life, or you're going to have to eventually make some sort of a break with it?
I don't know. Like, it's like a low dependency thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, get withdrawal or, like, whatever. So, like, I do think about that often, but I also love drinking. Mm-hmm. I love drinking the same way I love coffee. I'm definitely addicted to caffeine, you know? Like, it's, there could be worse things. I try to, like, manage it, and I've, like, stopped, like, doing other things because, I've been trying to unlearn, like, the shit, like, that, for, like, the last 30 years, like, that I've, like, as, like a white person that, like, passes as a man, like, that's been, like, you know, like, all my privilege and, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically just, like, white male privilege, like, trying to unlearn, like, those, like, the characteristics that someone that has that, like, how they act. Do you know, does that make sense?
Yeah. So it gives you, like, you're looking for a self-awareness of, sure. I do this, and this is also
so I drink this thing happens, like, mm-hmm. all that, like, the processing with myself that I, like, try is, like, gone, and, like, so I'm just, like, I can't do that anymore, and, like, I try not to. Mm-hmm. That's the, like, longest-winded answer for being, like, who knows? Yeah. I'm, like, I really don't know. Maybe one day I'll stop for good, but probably not. It's really fucking difficult. Like, but there is, like, some sort of, like, clarity with, like, being, like, aware and acknowledging it. It's, like, mm-hmm. the first step thing or whatever. There's 11 or 12 of them or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know from that, because one of them is acceptance of a higher power, so...
Oh, bummer.
So I would already be out if I had that problem. And also,
I
mean, cult.
The aliens might exist, who knows?
I think, yeah, probably somewhere.
More than God.
But I'm not accepting them as my higher power.
Definitely,
I gotta meet the motherfuckers first. Microbe, and I'm not bowing down to a microbe.
Yeah. I mean, we can't even, like, comprehend time. Like, our brains aren't fast enough to, like, actually be in the present, so who knows?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. This remains to be seen, so I'll just let that play.
Sure, yeah.
Although I always think, I don't want to die before the aliens actually land, because, like, what if aliens presented themselves the year after I died? Like,
yeah, but what if it sucks when they land?
Yeah, but it would be so interesting, and I'd be close to death anyway. But I mean, well,
maybe they have, like, the Fountain of Youth, and then they're just gonna, like, do weird shit to you. Not even weird, just, like, painful.
Maybe that would be good. All right. Well, in any case, the other thing about the converse of the negative side of drugs or substances, mm-hmm. is that sometimes when I talk to the people, they can say that there was a certain experience that they had with a certain drug that influenced them in a positive way. Often psychedelics,
yeah.
if used properly, can really move people forward in their understanding of the world around them or themselves. So do you have anything like that that you could share?
I am more creative when I'm drunk. Mm-hmm. There have been literal, like, hear songs that I've, like, not necessarily, like, blacked out and, like, written, but, like, woke up and just been like, oh man, that's a sick riff that I just recorded last night or did this thing. And also I don't question myself when I'm, like, drinking, or, like, when I'm, which, I mean, that's the, also the negative part. It's, like, not, like, filtering and processing everything that comes out.
Barreling forward.
Yeah. And so, like, when it comes to, like, you know, art, like, quote, art or whatever, and, like, music, like, that's a positive thing for me. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I did mushrooms like a couple times, and that was definitely like a like really intense like positive like moment. Mm-hmm. You know,
do you think that there was anything in particular that you drew out of that, like any sort of understanding or experience
out of doing the mushrooms?
Yeah, yeah. Mushrooms and alcohol, you know, obviously
totally different. Not like any sort of like nothing like mentally. There's like the 47 and 4800 block of this one street, mm-hmm. of Cedar are way beautiful to me now, because when I, it just like how it affected my brain, it like stuck in there. And so like,
yeah,
there's like beautiful cherry blossoms and like these other like plants where like they look 100% different, like not 100%. They look different to me even as sober, mm-hmm. like after doing that. But yeah, I definitely, there can 100% be like positive effects of like, I mean, in theory, all the drugs that like prescribed all the time are supposed to have like positive effects, and like they're also drugs, you know?
Yeah.
Just like not made illegal for like money and like.
Well, I mean, some drugs seem to have a dumbing down effect where they turn someone into like, you know, a potato and they sit on the couch. And
yeah, that's why I stopped taking antidepressants when I was 17. And yeah. like, mm-hmm. I haven't taken any since, and sometimes I consider it, but like, yeah, it turned it. I was walking down like the hall of school, and I was like, as a 17-year-old, had realized that I hadn't like rubbed one out in like 3 weeks, and I was like, what is wrong with me? Right. I really like doing that. And uh-huh. I was like, oh, it's these drugs, this is fucked.
Yeah.
There's other reasons, but that's the good story.
Fair enough. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up. I'm curious if there are any bands or records you're listening to, or books you're reading, or anything that you know you're finding to be particularly inspiring, yeah. or interesting or exciting now.
I mean, I think everyone is already on the Gloss train. Like Girls Living Out. It's a Girls Living Outside of Society shit. They're from Pacific Northwest. It's like members of like People Watching and stuff who we did a split with. It's funny, I just did a different interview and somebody asked me this question, and since all my stuff was stolen recently, I couldn't like look through the list of like things.
Same question as me.
Yeah. Oh. So they're great. I mean, typically any of like, we like, there's that Halloween record that we did that has like, you know, like 31 like influential bands. I can't think of most of them right now, but like they're listed, so like, mm-hmm. any of them. Soul Glow and Swarm, mm-hmm. who from Philly, both who we just did our record release show with, like,
no, it was with the FOD.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Soul Glow and like, oh my god, they are crushing it. Like one of the best bands in Philly. They blew my mind that night. Swarm, always like so good. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows Melt Banana. I'm like losing my mind.
That, oh, that show's coming up soon, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna like, I don't even know what to do after. Like that is like the most influential like active band right now, if not like, period, out of like any band I've ever listened to.
Why does that dude wear that surgical mask thing?
I mean, they're from Japan. Maybe it's like, which, you know,
he's
like,
afraid of getting cooties or something.
I feel like, I mean, I think it's like an, like,
I don't know, is it an affectation or is it a genuine concern about cooties? I always thought it was a weird.
I mean, who knows?
You need to find this out. Which
I maybe I'll ask if I'm not like.
Well, you speak perfect Japanese, so you should have no problem asking.
It's gonna be perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Super. Well, thank you very much for
doing absolutely.
It was my pleasure.
And cool.
Thanks.
Yeah.